So the Alter Rebbe explains, the distinction she makes between the prohibition against idolatry and that against adultery. Idolatry she will never engage in, even at the expense of torture, which is far more severe than the difficulty of overcoming a lust. But nevertheless, adultery she will engage in. Hugam came to Ashtos de Klippe. This distinction is also created as a result of the Ruach Shtos, as a result of the spirit of folly stemming from the Klippe. Hamalabeshes lenefesh alakis avchinas chachma shaba v'loy ad bichlal. Because this spirit of folly envelops, encases the divine soul only up to, but not including its faculty of chachma. Till chachma v'loy ad bichlal, not including chachma. Mipnei eir Hashem amalubesh b'chachma kanal. Because of the divine energy that is clothed in the faculty of chachma, as explained above in chapters 18 and 19. The divine soul consists of various faculties. The first and primary faculty is chachma, wisdom, conception. As the Alter Rebbe discussed there at length, we won't get into it at the moment. We elaborated at this point then when we learned chapters 18 and 19. Chachma is defined as the space in the human soul. Chachma is the vacuum in the human soul, the divine soul. In that vacuum is enclosed the energy of Hashem Himself. The quintessence of the Jewish soul is the Chachma of the soul. And in that space, Hashem dwells, Hashem exists, Hashem is manifestly present. The Ruach Shtus of Klippa, the shell elements of reality, can cover up all of the aspects of the divine soul till Chachma. Chachma can never be manipulated or distorted. Chachma could never be obscured. It can be dormant and latent. It could not respond. It can be silent. It can be repressed. But it can never be manipulated. It can never be enveloped, enclosed by the Nefesh HaBahamas, using it for its own needs. All the other faculties, yes. Aveda Zara affects Chachma. When the woman or the human being, a Jew, is challenged with Avodah Zarah, challenged with the concept of Emunah, do you accept Hashem or do you not accept Hashem? Are you ready to stop defining yourself as a Jew, which means you create for yourself a new God, not your Hashem? Here, Chachma cannot sleep anymore. Because here, Chachma was challenged. Chachma is the source of the Jewish Emunah. For the Jew to say, I don't believe, he is combating his Chachma, he's destroying his Chachma. Chachma, there's a buzz, Chachma wakes up. Once Chachma wakes up, there's no turning away. When it comes to other behavioral patterns, including adultery and other temptations, these also separate the Jew from Hashem. But they don't directly affect the Chachma element because they're not directly connected to Emunah. A Jew can engage in adultery and he can still experience himself as Jewish. In Avodah Zarah, that mistake cannot be made. Over here, he is acknowledging, it's very conspicuous, that here he is bridging. He's crossing the border. Since here he feels he's crossing the border, so the essence of his Jewish life, his Jewish soul, is evoked and says, no. In Niyuv, that doesn't exist. So the Ruach Shtus is also that insane power that allows us to create the distinction that here I could still be a good, wonderful Jew if I engage in it, and here not. Essentially, the Alter Rebbe says, it's not the case. Essentially, every Aved is a form of Aved Azara. That's what he continues. Aval Be'em Islamitay, but in truth, however, if we do not fall prey to the insane energy that overtakes us, Afilu Aveda Kala, even he who commits a minor sin, Hareha Ivra Ratzon Elyon Baruch Hu. Someone who transgresses it, transgresses the divine will. Note the words. I think I've made mention of the fact once that the Tanya was written in B'derech Arucha Oktzara, in the long, not in the short, longer way, but in the long, shorter way. And that has many meanings. And it's just interesting that perhaps one of the expressions of this method of the Alter Rebbe, which is connected to his overall philosophy of Chabad, is also conspicuous in the fashion through which he wrote the Tanya. There is, when you study the Tanya in depth, again and again, you come to realize that there is an infinite, overwhelming ocean of passion embedded in every word and every sentence. But Alter Rebbe took all that passion and he compressed it within the words, allowing maybe a faint glimmer of it to overflow. The crystallized depth, intellectual depth, and the amazing feeling and passion, he compressed within the words, and that's called the long, shorter way. Because a lot of it depends on the reader, on the feedback of the reader. I'm not going to give it to you, because then it's not internal, then it's overwhelming. My gush of inspiration, if that's what's going to inspire you, it's me inspiring you. Derech Arucha Ktsara is the long way, but it's ultimately short. It's long because you have to do it on your own. So you have to take the journey on your own, but it's ultimately short because when you're there, you're there. I say this because if you read the words here, this chapter, you'll see the Alter Rebbe lamenting the tragedy of an Aveda. Afilu Aveda kan lahareya Evra, Evra Aratzen Ha'alyim Baruch. It devastated him, this thought. Ha'evra, evra, ratzen alien baruch. He took ratzen alien and he violated. He not only ignores it, he not only has a separate agenda. He's combating himself, the energy of the universe, the ratzen alien, which is the essence of everything. He's distancing reality from itself in the most extreme way. And he's completely separated, he's completely sundered from Hashem's unity and oneness. Far more than the Sitra Achira and Klippa, which are called strange gods and idolatry. They, spiritual energies or personalities that Hashem created, beings that Hashem created, also exist as a result of the concealment of the speech and of the speaker. A concealment which is so powerful that it creates an ability for energies and personalities to arise that deny Hashem's unity. But at least you cannot say that the relationship has totally been severed. You cannot say that the concealment has reached its peak. They do not violate His will. They have their own agenda, they have their own ego, they call themselves gods and deities. And gods and deities doesn't only mean in the supernatural sense. It means as ich bin adar v'chashev, I am a significant reality. As myself, as independent from Hashem. That they do. But nevertheless, at least they acknowledge that there is a master of the master. That the master has a master. That the master comes from somewhere. The case of an Aveda, the tragedy of an Aveda, says, the Alter Rebbe says, is so much more powerful. Over here we experience reality in the most powerful extreme, which is antithetical to what reality is all about. Aveda Zara is also experiencing reality, not as it should be experienced. It's not Torah Mitzvahs. It's distance. It's concealment. It comes about only as a result of Tzimtzum of Hester. As explained before. But at least there's some relationship. In an Aveda, it's not just you have an ego. You define yourself as an enemy. There is a Ratzayni Yisbarach who wants that a person, Hashem's will, constitutes of the fact that man should behave this way and should not behave this way. Engaging in an Aveira is saying what? Is making a declaration. is engaging in a behavior, in a thought, in a word, in an utterance, which constitutes something which Hashem deemed as the antithesis of His will, desire, yearning, ambitions, convictions, visions, and wisdom. If we could use these terms concerning the divine reality. So the Alter Rebbe says, he is betachlis hapirut from Yechudei v'achdusei, much more than sitrach. He divorced himself from the true nature of reality, from the which is Hashem's unity. Hashem Echad is, from the Alter Rebbe's perspective, the cornerstone that characterizes reality. You want to know what reality is? Hashem Echad, oneness. Hashem's unity. That is reality, as discussed in Chaf and Chaf Aleph. Concealment distances us from the essence of reality, which is Achdus Hashem. The more concealment, the more distance. Sitra Achira is an embodiment of a powerful distance. But it pales in comparison to the epitome of distance of Hashem's Achdus that's perpetuated through a man engaging in an Aveda. It's interesting the term that Alter Rebbe used earlier in the chapter. He says, Sitra Achra and Avedah Zara, Hareizu Kfira Ba'achdusai. They deny Hashem's unity. They deny Hashem's oneness. Concerning a person who engages in an Aveira, he says, he is betachlis hapirud miyichudai va'achdusai shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoseh memena. He introduces also the word yichudai, and here again, v'hu betachlis hapirud miyichudai va'achdusai yisbarach. Which means perhaps, sitra achra and Aveda Zara deny Hashem's achdus. An Aveira denies Hashem's yichud. Klippas Sitrachin Avedah Zarah, the Shai deny Hashem's oneness but not His singularity. An Aveira denies His singularity. Elikim Acherim acknowledge that He's Elikad Elikaya. He is still singular and unique and has an advantage. He's not one. There is a world. There is Him and there is a world. And the Alter Rebbe says that's at odds with what reality is all about. Because the world is yesh me'ayin. And furthermore, even the ayin is also included in Hashem. So there is a denial of achdus. A person doing an aveira is not just denying achdus, he's denying yichud Hashem. His, not only his oneness, his singularity. Not only is being echad, his being yachid. He's not even, I don't even give him the credit of being Elikad Elikaya. Erzok tazei, unichzok fakert. He says thus, and I say the exact opposite. I don't even give him the credit of having a decent relationship where once in a while, when it comes to an issue that he wants, I say, listen, you know, I'm not your best friend, I'm not here to serve you, I'm not surrendering my ego to you, but I realize this is what you want, I have to do it for you. No, and Aveira says no. There's a combat between them. So the Alter Rebbe says, here he is, betachlis hapirut from Yichudei v'achdusei yisbarach. And he continues, v'yaser mekol advarim anishpayim emena b'olam hazeh. And he's more separated from Hashem's unity, even more than all things of this world that are derived from them, from the spiritual energies of klipa and sitra achira, that conceal godliness. There are various elements that exist in this world which derive their sustenance and energy from them. And they are beings and realities that are separated from Hashem's Achdus. From their perception, obviously. Because from Hashem's perception, the Hester Panim doesn't exist. And that's why He remains one post-creation as He was prior to creation. But from their perception, they're really separated from Hashem's Achdus. and they perpetuate that perception through their being, through their existence. And the fact that there can be that perception comes from Hashem creating a Hester upon them, which allows them to perceive themselves thus. Says the Alter Rebbe, but the epitome of separation from Hashem's Achdus is still perpetuated by the human being engaging in an Aveira. And he explains, what are these beings that derive their energy from Klippus? He says, Shehem behemis tmeyus, v'chayis, v'eifis tmeyim, v'shkotzim u'ramas. Namely, the unclean cattle, the impure beasts, birds, and the vermin and reptiles, which all receive their life force from the three completely unclean Klippus, which the Alter Rebbe discussed earlier in chapter 6. These are tamei, and that is the reason why they're forbidden for Jewish consumption. Because since they derive their energy from klippa, from the shell, from the husk of reality, so they themselves conceal in a very powerful way the divine energy which is at the core of their being. The divine energy is exiled within them, so a human being consuming them does not have the ability to extract their inner divine identity. So on the contrary, he will only be introducing the shell element into his life and falling prey to it. So therefore these things have to be ignored, defied. These energies are an embodiment of ego. They're an embodiment of self-centeredness, of self-orientation. Not necessarily intentionally, it's their fault. It's not a behemoth tmeyah's fault or a chayim etnishvig in them, whose fault it is. They don't have that free choice that a human being has. But Hashem created these energies and embodiments. So the Alter Rebbe says they're separated from Hashem's achdus. They totally do not bespeak their creator, even in a subtle fashion. That's not a real relationship. There is a powerful Hester upon them. But nevertheless, legabe a person who's doing an Aveira, it's already a relationship. Ukemaimer, as our sages have said, Yitush Kadmach, the gnat preceded you. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Aflamat Chasamir Aleph, one of the reasons why Adam Harishon, the human being, was created last, he was created on the sixth day after all other creatures and elements have been created. So the Gemara says, since human beings have problems with ego and arrogance, so she'im tazuach daiti alav, if man will wake up one morning and be very proud of himself, so we'll tell him, yitush kadmach, the gnat has preceded you. That is the literal interpretation. Simply, chronologically, the gnat has preceded the man, human being, who was in this world prior to man. So the gnat has copyright over our universe more than us. The Alter Rebbe, apparently here, is also offering the deeper spiritual explanation that Kadmach is not only in a chronological sense of time, but also qualitatively. In a spiritual sense, the features, the personality, so to speak, the psyche of a Yitush precedes, is superior to the quality of a human being who's overtaken by his or her ego and arrogance to the extent that he could sin. But the Alter Rebbe here offers a deeper interpretation even in this itself. Pirush, this means the af yitusha machnes veine moitzi, even the net, which as the Gemara tells us in Gittin Dafnun Vav amid beis, the Gemara says that a yitush is machnes veine moitzi, it consumes food but does not excrete. He klipa yoyser tachtein erechekim abchines hakdusha, which means that she is the very lowest form of klipa, and as far removed from holiness, hamashpas betachlis harichuk, which characteristically gives of itself even to those far from it. So even this gnat, which is the most remote klipa, it's the most remote element from kedusha, kaidemes leish hachayte, takes precedence over the man who sins, beishtal shalus v'yiridas hachayis miratzon alyon baruch hu, in the order of descent of the divine life energy from the divine will. The Gemara says one of the unique qualities of a yitush is its machnes veinim oitzi. all other creatures, obviously in the human race, and the same is true in the animal race, consume, but they also have a need to excrete. A yitush is machnes, it takes and it takes and it receives and it consumes and it never has to excrete. This physical feature of a yitush is symbolic of what it represents in the spiritual nature of existence. Because one of the basic doctrines of Kabbalah and Chassidus is that every physical feature, quality, characteristic, attribute, and faculty of every single creature existing in this universe is an embodiment and a manifestation of a certain spiritual truth and energy. So the fact that the Yitush has this physical experience is symbolic that in Klippa itself, it's the lowest form of Klippa. Because one of the most distinguishing differences, one of the, or maybe perhaps the distinguishing factor between Kedusha, between holiness and Klippa is in the issue of give and take, of Machnas and Maitzi. Klippa generally consumes, it takes, it's not fond of giving. Kedusha is characterized by the fact that it always bestows and gives. What is the reason for this? Dr. Rebbe explains in his discourses, Klippa has an essential insecurity. When you're insecure, you can't afford to give. We see it very much in human nature. If you always feel wanting, you always feel a void, you can never afford to give. Because whenever there is an interaction, you have to protect your own skin. It's only when a person feels secure and confident with himself or herself that he can now tell himself, okay, put a stop sign to myself, now I am involved in bestowal and giving. It's also it's a psychological issue also that affects a lot of people. If a person is deeply wounded, if a person is, for example, always overtaken by fear, some type of subconscious fears, you could never really interact with another person. You can never really give from yourself to another person. Because you're always positioning yourself vis-a-vis the situation. You're always in a mode of protection. You're always in a mode of alleviating stress. Sometimes it's not conscious, it's subconscious. But a person who has deep fears could never really enter into a real relationship with someone else of real giving, of really, for example, listening to another person. There's too much static going on in his mind. Klippa always has static. Because essentially it doesn't have a life and identity of its own. It doesn't have a confident and secure identity. So it could never afford to really give. It always has to take. Every moment it's in the mode of protecting itself, of positioning itself, of rectifying itself, of securing itself, of making sure it survives. So it's machnes. Kedusha, on the other hand, Kedusha has an essential intrinsic security. Kedusha, in other words, Klippa's confidence is created from circumstantial phenomena. Kedusha's confidence is an intrinsic quality. If your confidence and security is created by circumstances, for example, you could never afford to give. Because it's very random, it's arbitrary, you always have to be on the lookout. Kedush has an intrinsic confidence, it can afford to suspend itself and really give to someone else. That's one explanation that Alter Rebbe gives elsewhere. Another explanation is, an obvious explanation, Klippa is defined by ego. Kedush is defined by egolessness. Ego is the divisive element between you and I. Why should I give you if I can take it for myself? Kedusha is defined not by selfishness but by selflessness, so it gives. Now it's interesting that these two reasons are mamish interrelated with each other. Why? What is the point of all these prakim? And what is the Alter Rebbe saying? What's the problem with an ego? We discussed this in previous weeks. When you define yourself by an ego, it's not just unhealthy because it can hinder relationships. You're holding on to something that doesn't exist. You're holding on to something that exists only as an illusion as a result of Hester Ponim. Since Klippa defines itself by an ego, which means its whole confidence and security and character and identity is derived from something that doesn't have a real existence, So it's always in the mode of receiving, it could never afford to give, versus Kedusha, which defines itself by true reality, by Hashem's reality. So therefore it gives. In Klip itself, there are levels. Even Klipa recognizes, sometimes for the sake of your consuming, you have to give a little bit. You know, you have to listen to someone else in order that you should be able to answer. Sometimes in conversations, you see, you're talking to someone, the other person is not interested in listening to what you have to say. He's just waiting for you to finish so that he should be able to refute you. But at least he realizes that he has to wait for you to finish because he has to be able to refute you. Then you have a yitush. A yitush is mamish. A yitush is a chiddush. A yitush is machnes ve'ene moitzi. Add that. He's talking. He doesn't have even that most basic moral code of allowing the person to finish his sentence, never mind his paragraph. The yitush consumes, never excretes. There's no recognition of another person. There's no such a thing of bestowal in the yitush's life. So a Yitush, he says, symbolizes a klipa which is the most remote from Kedusha. It's the most extreme. Kedusha gives betachlus harichuk. Kedusha will bestow to someone which is very remote from him. And Yitush, even to someone that's close to it, it won't give anything. Zag de Gemara, Yitush kadmach. The human being who engages, God forbid, in a sin, who precedes him, who takes precedence over him, a Yitush. Not just chronologically, and not just qualitatively, but the Alter Rebbe adds a very interesting thing. In the Hishtalshelus and Yiridus HaRatzon. You see, Hashem is the creator of the universe. The creation comes from His Ratzon. The Ratzon is now affected. The Ratzon goes through an evolution. The Ratzon creates spiritual worlds, the Ratzon creates klippas, the Ratzon creates more coarse worlds, even coarser worlds, even more vulgar worlds, all coming from the Ratzon. The Ratzon is evolving and going through stages and gradations of concealment. The Ratzon goes through an evolutionary process. So the Alter Rebbe says, Yitush Kadmach, and it's interesting how he interprets it in the term Kadmach, in the rung, in the evolutionary process of the Ratzon the Alien coming from Hashem's intimate self to creation, to create the most lowly element of the universe, the Yitush is on a higher rung in the ladder of Hashem's Ratzon. Which means the Yitush is closer to Hashem's unity, is closer to reality as it's from its true nature, from its nature, how it's perceived by its source. The sinner is on the lowest rung of the Ratzon, which means is impacted by the Hester in the most powerful way. Why? Pashut. The Yitush is taka, consumes and doesn't excrete because it's klippa. It's defined by I. But at least the Yitush doesn't declare war against its energy. The Yitush doesn't deny Hashem and doesn't transgress His will. The Yitush is defined by ego. The Yitush is defined by concealment. The Yitush is by no means in touch with the axiom of Hashem Echad. The Yitush by no means bespeaks the true nature of reality that kula kamekelei chashev mamish. But nevertheless, the human being's remoteness from Hashem's unity is far deeper, far more extreme than the Yitush's remoteness from Hashem's unity. Huh? It's very... Yeah, it says Yitush Kadmach. Interesting, the Kadmach... Kadmach, taka, it's similar, you see, well, that what we gain through this pirush in Kadmach is that it's similar to the Gemara, to the literal interpretation. Kadmach means chronologically, Alter Rebbe says, I also mean chronologically, not physical time, spiritual time. There is physical time and there's spiritual time. Spiritual time is a higher rung in the evolutionary process, in the cause which leads to the effect. And let's learn another few lines. The kol shekein shar balechayim atmeh. If we say that yitush kadmach, certainly the same is true concerning other unclean creatures, which don't have that quality of consuming and not excreting. You have a lot of chayis tmeyas that receive their energy from klipas atmeyas, but they give. Whether it's a horse, whether it's a donkey, whether it's a camel, and so on and so forth. They're balachayim tmeim, but they give. Certainly, they do not characterize klip as a yitush does, and certainly they're superior to a human being who engages in sin. And Alter Rebbe adds, afilu v'afilu chayis rayis. Even undomesticated animals, wild beasts, that are harmful, not like horses or camels and so forth. You have the undomesticated animals that can devour, that are absolutely beastly and so forth. Nevertheless, they exist on a higher rung in the evolutionary process from Hashem's Ratzon than the human being engaged in the sinner. They are closer to Hashem's unity than the sinner. Why? Shekulam eina mashanim tafkidam. Because all of these never deviate from their divinely intended purpose. Upkudasa yizbarech shamre rucham. They obey Hashem's command. Although they cannot perceive it, the animal can obviously doesn't have that consciousness that allows it to perceive Hashem's command. So the Alter Rebbe says, Chuli. Apparently he's referring to the Gemara in Megillah Dav Gimel, where the Gemara says about certain human beings that afagav the iulei chazi, mazlayu chazi, that their spirit, they have a spiritual spirit that perceives it. True, the Gemara says in Baba Kama that Adam isle mazala, behema lesle mazala. The Gemara in Megillah is talking about Adam, Daniel, and his chaverim. That then Daniel saw the vision, and his friends, his colleagues, didn't see the vision of the Malach, but they nevertheless were shooken up. So the Gemara says, how are they shaken up? Shaken up, how are they shaken up if they haven't perceived the vision? Because mazlayu chazi. So true, Behema obviously doesn't have the same mazal of a human being, but it's explained in other places that some type of spiritual source of spiritual energy it has. The Gemara says, the Medrash says, that there's not even a grass existing in this universe, forget about a Behema, that doesn't have a mazal, a maila, which is communicating to it and telling it to grow. So nevertheless, there is a certain spiritual energy that characterizes the Behema, which perceives Hashem's command, and therefore impacts the day-to-day behavior of the undomesticated animal, that it never deviates from its divine intended purpose. So that the life force which exists within them and animates them is aware of the divine will, and it doesn't permit them to act in violation of it. Where do we see that a behemoth, even of the undomesticated animals, adheres to Hashem's commands? So the Alter Rebbe gives a few examples. The Pasuk says in Parshas Noach, "Umera'achem v'chitchem yi'al kol chayis aretz." Hashem promises to the descendants of Adam, Noach, and his children, "The fear and dread of you shall lie upon every beast of the earth." Ukepirush Razal, and as our sages explain in Masichta Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Ches, She'ein chayira meshalas ba'adam elim kain nidmela kebehema. A wild beast will never defy a human being unless he appears to it like an animal. The Gemara explains that the natural order of existence is that meira'achem v'chitchem yi'al kol chayis aretz. Hashem established in the universe, in the nature of our world, that the fear and dread of a human being lies upon every beast of the earth. Frag the Gemara, we see that is not the case. So the Gemara says, a chayira, a wild beast, can never dominate and overpower a human being unless he appears to it like an animal. As long as he doesn't appear to it like an animal, like a ben adam, then she doesn't have that power. And this is a certain code to which the animals adhere to. Kudasa yizbarach shamre rucham. And furthermore, v'hat tzadikim. In fact, when confronting tzadikim, she'ein selam alakim mistalik malpneim, from whose face the divine image never departs. Kol chayis royis is skafyon kamayu. The evil beasts are humbled before them. Kameshakasu b'zoyer gaba Daniel b'gev arayis. As is stated in the Zoyer concerning Daniel in the lion's den. Not only when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, as told in the Sefer Daniel in the Tanakh, not only did the lions not harm him, but on the contrary, they humbled themselves before him. So the Zoyer explains why is that. Because by tzaddikim, whom the tzelem aleikim, the image of Hashem has not departed from their face. Because they're always in touch with their tzelem aleikim. Their day-to-day behavior is an exercise of harmony with their own neshama, with their own tzelem aleikim. So the behema, even the chayur, or even the lion, perceives it. If not, the lion perceives it, its mazel perceives it. And therefore, not only do they not have the ability to dominate this person, to devour the person, God forbid, but furthermore, it will humble itself. These animals will humble themselves before this human being. But in any case, the bottom line is that all animals, domesticated and even undomesticated animals, have a certain purpose, and they follow that pattern which Hashem set up for them, and they never deviate from it. So true, by no means do they bespeak Achdus Hashem. By no means do they declare the truth of Hashem's unity. Bechlal of Hashem's existence. They do allow for a perception of atheism, and furthermore, certainly, not only don't they bespeak Hashem's unity, they don't even bespeak Hashem's existence. So madach, they don't bespeak Hashem's existence, they for sure don't tell the story of His unity. So it's not the relationship of Torah, it's not the relationship of mitzvahs, it's not even the relationship of klipas noiga, the kosher elements of the universe, which are also concealing. It's the relationship which is very, very distant, very obscured, very remote. But their distance, their denial of Hashem's unity, their repression of the true nature of reality pales in comparison to the human being who comes and engages in a behavior, in an act, which was deemed by Hashem as the antithesis of His will. And this is what Alter Rebbe concludes. V'im kein, if so, it's clear that hachoy teva oivir etzeini is barach afilu b'aveir kalom, that he who sins and transgresses against Hashem's will, even in a minor offense, b'shas mais, at that time, hu betachlis harichuk mikdusha alyena, he is completely removed from the divine holiness. And he emphasizes betachlis harichuk, not just rachaik, not just remote distance, betachlis harichuk, the epitome of distance from Hashem's holiness, Shehi Yichudei V'Achdusi is Baruch, meaning Hashem's unity and oneness, Yaiser more Mikol Balei Chayim Atmeim than all the unclean creatures, Ushkotzim Uremasim, the vermin and the reptiles, Hamushpoyim Misitri Achiru Klippus Avedi Zara, which derive their sustenance from the Sitra Achira, and the clip of Avodah Zarah, this human being, is far more distant and remote from the divine holiness, which is Hashem's unity. And he emphasizes that what is Hashem's Gdusha? Hashem's Yichudei V'Achdusi is Baruch. Which means, what is the definition of holiness? Definition of holiness is every element of life that bespeaks Hashem's unity. Which means, Gdusha means reality that's in touch with who it is. Gdusha means no hallucinations, fantasies, illusions, and delusions. That's Alter Rebbe's definition of Gdusha. Every reality, human being, behavioral pattern, act, deed, thought, which is an expression, a projection, a revelation of the dictum of Hashem's Achdus, that is Gdusha. Every act that is restoring reality to what it is Kedusha. If it bespeaks the axiom of Hashem's Achdus. Every element that does not bespeak it, certainly which represses it, is the antithesis of Kedusha. It's called Klippa, which means a shell. In that itself, there are many gradations and levels. Gradation lower than gradation, lower and lower and lower. Each gradation becomes lower as a result of a deeper hester upon him, which conceals Hashem's energy, and hence conceals Hashem's achdus. Because if Hashem's energy would be revealed, Hashem's achdus would be evident and conspicuous. Says the Alter Rebbe, the peak of this remoteness, the peak of this distance, the extreme of this separation, of this antithesis of Gdusha, is not in the spiritual energies of Klippas, Achra, Vedazara, is not even in those elements in this universe, in this physical world, which come from it, the unclean animals, is not in a gnat, which is Machnes Veine Moitzi, is not even in undomesticated animals, which devour which seemed disgusting and repulsive and abhorrent and so forth, because at least in all these cases, there is some glimmer of Hashem's energy, of Hashem's unity. If only in the fact that they do not live a life which is antithetical to His will. And then there's the human being. There's us, the Adam. And a person has the power to redefine the term distance, to redefine the term remoteness, to create in his life a separation which is so powerful and so extreme, because what he is doing, what he has the ability to do, God forbid, is to engage in an act or a thought or a deed which is antithetical to Ritzon Yisbarach, which is in violation, at odds with what Hashem constitutes his will and wisdom. Engaging in something which Hashem deemed as being the opposite, the antithesis of what he wants. And this, he says, is afilu ba'avera kala. And this, there's no difference between a more stringent and a more lenient avera. That, the differences we'll discuss next week in Meretz Hashem. But this common denominator, this issue is a common denominator which exists equally and identically by every single act, thought, or deed, which constitutes something which is antithesis of the divine will. Why the human being? Yes, because the human being was given bchira, was given free choice. An animal wasn't given free choice. And that is the unbelievable quality, the amazing quality of the human being in the evolutionary process of Hashem's energy from his intimate self to this world. Man can either elevate his consciousness and his life to the highest rung in the ladder, beyond the undomesticated animals, beyond the domesticated animals, beyond the gnat, beyond the physical universe, beyond the spiritual universe. He could elevate himself to that level where reality is perceived as being kula kamei kalei chashiv through limudat Torah. On the other hand, man can degrade himself to the lowest of the lowest rungs in the ladder. Perhaps, wrong, I stand correct, not the lowest rung in the ladder. To that level where the ladder ceases to exist. That's where he can degrade himself. That's the nekuda. The chayis rayis are at least, the Alter Rebbe says, there's a ladder. It's the lowest rung, true. But an aved is what? He's violating, he's combating Ratzon Elyon. He throws down the ladder. And that's where the human being can reach. Either he can reach the greatest heights. Have a good day and a wonderful week.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or albums, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.